Good morning, everyone. I don't know how good a real estate guy he is, but Roger Staubach was one terrific football player. He led the Dallas Cowboys to four Super Bowls in the 70s, and they won two of them, number 6 and number 12. He developed a reputation for pulling out victories when defeat looked inevitable. He led the Cowboys to come from behind 23 times in the fourth quarter. All of this earned them the nickname, do you know it?
Comeback Kid.
No. Captain Comeback. Charlie, you were close. You're thinking about that other football player. About 20 years ago, I attended a dinner where Roger Staubach was sharing his Christian faith. And I distinctly remember him saying that he put his faith in Christ because he was searching for permanence. Permanence. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? Permanence. Open your scriptures this morning to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Man, the writer of Hebrews will expand on the life of Abraham more than anyone else in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is often called the Hall of Faith. Little play on words there, right? The Hall of Faith. Let's get started this morning looking at Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Man, when God called Abraham off the bench about 2,000 years before Christ, 4,000 years ago, it was a very tough call. He was probably in his 50s. He lived over in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, Ur of the Chaldees, if you think of Baghdad over there in Iraq, you come down the Euphrates River southeast. It's down there quite a ways. Ur of the Chaldees. And at the time that Abraham was there in his father's house, it was coming into its heyday as a commercial and political center. It was a hot city like Atlanta or Dallas or something like that. And man, it's hard to leave. He's a businessman over there, very prominent businessman. It's hard to leave when you have all of your business contacts there, right? How would you like it if somebody said to you, you've established yourself here, you've worked hard, but we want you to leave now and start all over somewhere. How would you like it? That's the level of feeling I want you to have about this, okay? But man, he obeyed, the scripture tells us. He obeyed. Look at verse 8 there. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Well, it was a tough call, but it's matched by the caller, right? Who's calling him? When the God of glory appears to Abraham and tells him to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. Men, he showed that his sense of permanence was not here. His sense of permanence was not here. He put himself in the hand of God. And that's really what faith is, you know? Faith is, I know that God will provide and guide me. I know He knows best for me. It's hard for us to do, those of us who are prudential, right? We have insurance policies on our insurance policies very often. But I know that He will take care of me. Now we'll go to verse 9, okay? By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Okay, comes up the Euphrates River with the whole family, you know, very communal. His father, Terah, his nephew Lot, and they go up. They get up around Haran, which probably be up around Lebanon today, up above Israel and Jordan, okay? And they're up there, and they hang around there for a while. Probably his father was a little reluctant to go any farther. You know, it's pretty hard to know exactly what happened 4,000 years ago, but this is what they're assuming. But after his father dies, Abraham's about 70, and they start coming down. Brings his nephew Lot, who is probably his appointed heir. Why? Why is Lot his heir?
He didn't have any other children.
He doesn't have any kids. He and Sarai cannot have children. They've pretty much given up. And we'll talk more about that next time. So, for decades, he lives with his family in a foreign country, the promised land down in Canaan. He comes down into Canaan. He lives there for decades as a stranger and not part of the establishment. He lives in a tent. He is at the mercy of the landowners around him. One commentator put it this way. He said he receives favors thankfully, and he bears their unkindnesses patiently. This is a man who is a prominent businessman over in Ur of the Chaldees who worshipped, their thing over there was to worship the moon. The Lord said, I got a better deal for you. He has to be ready every day to pack up and move. But he continues to claim the promise of God. And the promise of God is that he would later receive as his inheritance a place that he would later receive as his inheritance. Now, where is that, man? Where is that place? Where's the place? Where is his permanence? Look at verse 10 here. Look at the text. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. What kind of a city now, men, would God build? What kind of a city would God build? Would it be ordered? You're in a tent, you know, all you got are some tent pegs out there. It's pretty mobile. Would it be ordered? Huh? Would it be established? Permanent, if you will, right? Would it be supplied? Would it be well defended? Would anybody ever be able to get you? Men, heaven is permanent. Nobody can take it away from us. Nobody can take it away from us. A lot of us are feeling the stress of the economic conditions, right? We know that things can move. The cheese can move, right? If y'all read that book, Who Moved the Cheese? Well, let me tell you, the cheese is moving, man. It's moving for me. And men, when we also, as Abraham, put our faith in God, we too become heirs of the promise, and the promise is permanent. It is forever. And Abraham is the father of all who believe that there is such a state,
and put their faith in Christ to get them there. Now, where are we supposed to go? Maybe I have the wrong idea because I've spent the last 3 years improving my property with mostly sweat equity. Am I trying to find my permanence here? No, I think what Father Abraham can teach us is this. Like him, men, we need to respond in obedience to that unique call that God has for each one of us. Whatever it is, and it's different for each person. This is one of those medieval hangovers where we think of calling in terms of becoming a professional clergyman. We're still hung over on it, about 500 years. Every man has got a calling on his life from the Lord. If you're a real estate guy or a barber, I'm thinking of some of the guys in here, a scientist, a federal trustee, a business owner or a CPA, a father, a husband. He calls us to be the best we can be. The best we can be. We've got a new table leader coming on. And I've just been convinced by the Lord. I told the new table leader, I won't embarrass him today. Today's not his day to be introduced. I said, we're going to drive you crazy. He had to meet twice this week at 6:30 in the morning for training. Twice. I said, we're going to drive you crazy because I'm convinced that the Lord, whatever he calls you to do, he wants you to be the best. And we're not here to fool around. We're dead serious about leadership training. That's my conviction. That's what I'm supposed to be thinking about. What are you supposed to be thinking about? We don't have to move, men. We don't have to move. Our permanence is in his promise of eternal life. And he more than likely won't have us move geographically, but he will expect us to obey him. I'm convinced of that, that we in this culture, we've got the wrong idea sometimes. It's too easy. And we need to trust him, like Abraham, to guide us and provide for us. Peter explains it this way. He says, as aliens and strangers in this world, abstain from sinful desires. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. He's coming back. And we need to live as if we are already in the city that God builds, a little heaven on earth. I remember listening to those tapes years ago, my wife and I, when our kids were little. 14 hours of tapes by a great, trying to remember his name, James Hatch from Columbia University over in Columbia, South Carolina. 14 hours on parenting. And he said, you want to know about parenting? Your home should be a little bit of heaven on earth. And my wife and I have tried to do that. That's the way we ought to be living. It's the most important institution is the family. Met with a man this week, and he said that this ministry saved his marriage and family. Fantastic. If we got one, fantastic. That's good enough. Charlie, that's big. Charlie always says, what are you doing big? I said, let me tell you, that's big. It's big for me. Right? Charlie would be the first to agree. Roger Staubach is known as a great family man with 5 children. And the passage in Peter that I mentioned to you, men, goes on to place great emphasis on social order. Let me quote to you. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. We need order. You can't have morality without order. Starting with the family again. Okay. He said, goes on to say, Peter, show proper respect to everyone. We're losing our civility in this culture. Have you noticed how uncivilized people are becoming? How rude they are. I walked the other day over to I was at a private school, Christian school, and the whole basketball team walked toward me, and I was walking in, and those young men did not even look at me in my face. I should go see the coach and talk to him about, what are you teaching these kids? We've got to make a difference, men. We've got to make a difference. Show proper respect to everyone. He says, love the brotherhood of believers. I am so excited about the interest that men in this ministry are showing to other men. Taking them out for a cup of coffee. He's out of work. It gets to be psychologically very debilitating. Go take him out and talk with him and introduce him to a friend. You can never tell. But show an interest in people. And I'm so excited to see that happening. Tim Hayes comes to mind as a perfect example of that. It's, you know, just fantastic, really. It's big, Charlie. It's big. Fear God, honor, and honor civil authority. I think in some small way we're getting a little bit of respect for authority back in our nation, okay? We won't develop that anymore. Men, the challenge this morning is this, like Abraham, to be obedient and answer the call of God on our lives. And instead of holding on so tight, you know, is to recognize that our permanence is in the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Amen. Father, we praise you. Thank you for, we thank you for your grace. I mean, we're going to that city. We're going. This life was, this life will surely pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.